This is Arkies in the Beltway, your look at national politics and the Arkansans influencing the discussions. I'm Alex Thomas, Washington correspondent for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, reporting from the nation's capital. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Arkies in the Beltway for the week of October 20th, 2024. This week is our third installment of our series previewing Arkansas's four congressional races in this fall's general election. Representative Steve Womack is seeking his eighth term on Capitol Hill, representing the 3rd District, which includes Northwest Arkansas. Womack, a Republican from Rogers, faces two challengers in his reelection effort, Democrat Caitlin Draper of Fayetteville and Libertarian Bobby Wilson of Bentonville. When Womack spoke to the Democrat Gazette, he noted he has brought a mayor's mentality to the U.S. House of Representatives. Womack served as mayor of Rogers for 12 years, leaving the position in 2010 for Capitol Hill. He says that approach is important, especially with the current divided makeup of Congress.
That should, you know, inform members that if you're going to create legislative solutions for the myriad of problems facing our country, you're going to have to be able to work in a divided government scenario, which means you're going to have to find common ground and be willing to compromise in order to achieve solutions that can move the country in a different direction.
Getting to the general election was not a guarantee for Womack. The congressman had to overcome a primary challenge in March from State Senator Clint Pinzo. Womack won the race with around 54% of the vote. That percentage came despite support from Arkansas's top Republicans and a significant cash advantage over Pinzo. The congressman blames voter turnout for his spring showing.
Too few people opted to go to the polls, and I think it's because they felt like that a lot of those decisions were already baked, and perhaps they were, but I was very disappointed in the turnout in the primary election, and I don't think we'll have that same problem in the fall.
Draper says there's more to Womack's primary performance than just the number of people who voted.
The deal is, Womack was primary because he doesn't listen.
Draper, a clinical social worker, became interested in running for public office after noticing what she described as significant suffering among her clients. As Arkansas began removing people from its Medicaid rolls last year, ending the coronavirus pandemic response, some of Draper's clients lost their insurance coverage.
I'm not going to stop seeing a client because they can't afford it. I've never operated that way, and that left, you know, wasn't great for my pocketbook for sure.
Draper also noted her work with LGBTQ plus clients. Draper, who herself is bisexual, says these patients have been open in sharing their fears about public policy attacking LGBTQ plus rights.
I have seen people that have literally wanted to die. I've sat with someone who wants to, multiple people that have wanted to die because of the oppressive policies put forth by our leadership.
Wilson, who helps manage a residential trim lumber company, has been involved in Northwest Arkansas politics since 2019. Attending local municipal meetings. Regarding his decision to run for federal office, Wilson says voters should have more options in November than just Republicans and Democrats.
Fundamentally, I think decisions are best handled at the margins. And what that means is that you are the expert on your life. And you aren't the expert of what decisions will make your life better and your family's life and your children and your business and, you know, all of those things. And the less interference from government, the better for you.
Wilson adds the federal government's authority needs limitations. Contending local governments should have a larger role.
You think of it like a target. The closer things are locally, the more precise, you know, whatever government prescription is for whatever problem can be. It's just much closer to what actually needs to be done. And as you get further away, it gets more and more inefficient.
Being on the campaign trail has allowed Draper to discuss her struggles with fertility. Draper has been receiving in vitro fertilization treatment, sharing with the Democrat Gazette that she has polycystic ovary syndrome, in which infertility is a common complication. Draper and her husband John had a successful embryo transfer last March, only for the couple to learn weeks later that the pregnancy would not be viable. She recalled a conversation with her doctor, who is based in Illinois, about options for care.
And I love this physician. She's world-class. She's incredible. But she said, I don't know. I'm so sorry. You know, you might want to make a game plan. I can leave the state. You know, my husband and I are not rich by any means, but we have enough money to get gas, to get out, or to buy a plane ticket. We have health care insurance. What about the women in my district that can't leave?
Since the U.S. Supreme Court struck down the national right to abortion 2 years ago, states have been responsible for crafting and implementing policies affecting reproductive care. Arkansas prohibits abortion except in situations when the mother's life is at risk. Draper experienced a miscarriage shortly after learning about the pregnancy's viability. Reflecting on this moment, she says Congress's failure to codify the right to abortion into federal law presents a danger to women in Arkansas and across the country.
It's absurd that because of extremism in our government, my life was at risk.
During the Arkansas PBS debate with the 3rd District candidates, Womack expressed sympathy for Draper and her family, but noted the conversation about abortion is now before states because of the Supreme Court's decision. Wilson says he does side with abortion opponents regarding when life begins, but he is not convinced by arguments comparing abortion to murder.
I think we should have less abortion, but I do not support a panopticon or the massive tracking and, you know, mass surveillance that's going on that would be needed to, you know, prevent it from happening.
When Womack arrived on Capitol Hill for the first time as a lawmaker in January 2011, he immediately eyed a spot on the House Appropriations Committee, the body responsible for handling funding matters across the federal government. Womack got on that committee.
I have the ability to write legislation that funds very important pieces of the discretionary budget of the U.S. government.
In the current Congress, Womack leads the subcommittee handling transportation, housing, and urban development matters. The full committee passed a $90.4 billion measure from the subcommittee over the summer. Womack says being a congressional appropriator is a serious responsibility.
While a lot of my colleagues that sit on authorizing committees are engaged in other legislative priorities, my time has been consumed with being a good appropriator and making sure that we're funding the type of government that America needs at a cost that we can afford.
Womack has also championed the House Appropriations Committee's process to secure funding for local projects, commonly known as earmarks. In this Congress, Womack has requested millions of dollars for work addressing multiple issues in Northwest Arkansas, including the Springdale Northern Bypass and construction at Ebbing Air National Guard Base in Fort Smith.
Tens of millions of dollars have been able to come back to my district for projects vital to local communities and to our state that are essential for the economic vitality of our region. And I'm proud of that.
As Womack looks to November, he hopes voters understand the impact of his leadership and that being in Washington has not and will not change him, despite a primary election scare.
I'm not the kind of guy that's going to put a finger to the wind in one election and then change course in the next. A lot of people are forced, for political reasons, to be one kind of candidate in their primary and a totally different kind of candidate in the general election.
From Draper's perspective, the growth in Northwest Arkansas presents opportunities to meet new Arkansas voters and possibly flip the red district blue.
We are seeing momentum in this district, and this district is changing.
Wilson recognizes being the Libertarian candidate makes him a long shot in next month's election. He says if he can get 4% of the vote, he'll consider that a win of sorts.
We do vote so that way we don't kill each other, right? But that means that the person that voted against you, they're still your neighbor the next day.
Voters in Northwest Arkansas and across the natural state can begin voting Monday. The early voting period will be getting underway. Most early voting locations will be open Monday through Friday from 8 to 6, and on Saturdays from 10 to 4. On the final day of the early voting period, Monday, November 4th, polls that day will be open until 5 p.m. And that'll do it for this edition of Our Keys in the Beltway for the week of October 20th, 2024. You can stay up to date with all news involving Arkansas at arkansasonline.com. You can get in touch with me on social media. My handle is at AlexHouseThomas. Special thanks, as always, to the team down in Little Rock. I'm Alex Thomas, and this has been Our Keys in the Beltway. Thanks for listening.